Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Ann Ortley. I'm calling in to give you the weekly weather report for April 27th, 2009, from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So our week ahead has an interesting cast to it. There actually aren't a lot of aspects in the sky this week, but the few that do take place are strong ones. Often that means we'll have an opportunity to wrap things up and move things along. It's time to get stuff out the door and off into the world, finish up the dribs and drabs of stuff laying about our lives, and move them off, move them out, move them off. Or it can be time to begin, with the help of that lovely new moon in Taurus that we had last week, a major project in our Venus-ruled houses. And it should be about what you desire, you love, or are passionate about. Saturn is slowly pulling to a stop. He's preparing to station and go direct in a few weeks. He's within 19 minutes of his station, and he's moving mighty, mighty, mighty slow as he grinds into the degree of 15-14 Virgo. Saturn's asking it and us to wake up and smell the freshly ground coffee. Venus is on the world axis, making us aware of her power, our desire, and just how fast time can go by when you review your life, passion, and loves for the last 40 days. Venus is officially starting off on her new 8-year journey this week. She finished with her 40-day retrograde period. She's wrapped up in paper and ribbons the understandings she reached of the last 8 years and put them in a little box in her closet to remember when she's 90. She had chats and said goodbye to the folks she's leaving behind and moving on from. She's communed and reflected on her past loves and lovers. She might have even inspired you to write a poem or two about youthful passions and unbridled your inner siren. Now Venus is calling on you to commence your next 8-year chapter. Forward you go, trails of perfume wafting behind you, and don't forget to pack your lingerie. Mercury, after all of last week's drama and activity, is scooting ahead. He's leaving Taurus, where he was quiet and where silence was the best policy. This week he goes into Gemini, one of his most favorite signs, and he finds his tongue again. So silence is still the best policy through Thursday night, and then once Mercury shifts signs, talk all you want. Remember, the reason for this and last week's silence is Venus is in Aries, answering to Mars in Aries, and is in charge of Mercury while he's in Taurus. Whatever you say in the early part of the week comes in super, super fast. It might not be what you want. It might be what you ask for, but not what's correct for your next journey. The laws of unintended consequences and be careful what you ask for are operating at maximum delivery speed right now. Mercury is also in his shadow, getting ready for his next retrograde next month. So notice what's burbling up around your communication devices, cars, and computers. That little grinding song sound in your computer, that means you're time to back that computer up. Next week or so will alert you to Mercury's retrograde journeys and purpose. Mercury's going to be retrograde in early Gemini and late Taurus from May 6th to May 30th. You've been getting hints about his story since he entered his shadow last Wednesday. So focus on your future. It might not be launched or 100% ready to go out in the world until Saturn goes direct in a few weeks, but work like a busy beaver on it. As Saturn slows to a halt, we are at a critical moment in time and space, pivoting on the middle degree of Virgo in the Capricorn decan. What do you want your life to be about? Measure your life in love and your passions. They are the true indicator of what your heart and your chart is here to have you do. On Monday, the moon in Gemini has a closing aspect of a trine to Neptune. So put on the music and dance through your tasks. Hit the mute button when you need to make a call. Moon squares Saturn, so this will be the last chapter of things for a while. Mars and the node are working together to get things out the door and off into the world. Sun has an aspect of brilliance with Chiron, so watch for illumination about and around your wounds, as well as the things you are afraid of. You're going to see them clearly. Sun is finishing a stressful aspect to your routines. Can you change the pattern and thus change your life? Are you ready yet? Tuesday features a 6-hour void moon that asks us to focus on the quiet and mundane parts of our world with a gentle intention. Venus is fighting with the nurturing energy of Ceres. The whole desire versus nurture argument is up for discussion. Yeah. No. My little computer just got excited on me. Huh, that was pretty exciting. I don't know what happened there. Okay. I got to find my whole thing. Where was I? I don't even know what day I was in. Tuesday. Okay, this is exciting. Venus is fighting with the nurturing energy of Ceres. The whole desire versus nurturing argument is up for discussion. Sorry about that, guys. I think I clicked my mouse. Adjustments need to be made. Why do you think they need to be mutually exclusive? Why do you think the choices need to be mutually exclusive? Glass half full, glass half empty. Focus on the water instead. Or on whatever is over in the corner that needs your attention and time. Change that pattern. Change the pattern. Wednesday, Moon in Cancer links the Sun in Taurus with Saturn in Virgo as she journeys through her day. Link up the focus of your being with the work that nourishes your soul today. By work, I don't necessarily mean the stuff you get paid to do. I do mean the stuff you adore, love, and can't do or don't have enough time in a day to do as much as you'd like. So it might be your art. You do have a day gig, but the art, the art. So get up and do your art in the morning. Set boundaries around your time today so you can do more of what you want to do. Sun joins with the nodes of destiny and works with how you partner yourself. Come up with a new way to partner with yourself to get yourself to where you want to go. The day is great for sending creative things out into the world. Thursday, you'll wake with a start, with either a terrific new idea or a crystal clear image of what you need to get rid of in your life. Sometimes it seems so clear. This is one of those times. Today is one of those days. Again, we have another long void moon with excellent closing aspects for sending creative things out into the world. Get it launched or distributed by 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, because the moon goes void at that point. Mercury enters Gemini, so we can speak without Venus and Mars responding like warrior gods or helicopter parents flying in to fix us up. Partner with yourself on further transformations. Friday is May Day, or Beltane. Passions, passions, passions. Passions are high and proud. You wake and leap out of bed, energized by the moon's aspect to Venus and Mars in the night. Beltane is a spring fertility festival which takes place halfway between the vernal or spring equinox and the midsummer or the summer solstice. Beltane marked the arrival of summer. At Beltane, the Pleiades star cluster rises just before sunrise on the morning horizon. The Pleiades is a cluster of seven closely placed stars, the seven sisters, in the constellation of Taurus. When looking for Pleiades with the naked eye, remember it looks like a little tiny dipper-shaped pattern of six moderately bright stars. The seventh can be seen on a very dark night in the constellation of Taurus. It stands very low in the northeast corner for a few minutes right before sunrise. Beltane is about honoring life as the sun is released from winter. Beltane is a time of no time, when the veils between the two worlds are at their thinnest. The earth and spirit worlds intermingle and unite. Magic abounds. It's the time when the fairies return from their winter respite, carefree and full of mischief and delight. In Ireland, food left over from May Eve must not be eaten, but is left as an offering to the fairy world. The cattle herds were ritually driven between the two Beltane fires to purify, bring luck, and protect, as well as ensure their fertility, before they were taken up to the summer grazing lands. Beltane marks the wedding of the goddess and the god, and it heralds the reawakening of the earth's fertility. On a spiritual level, the unifying of the divine masculine and the divine feminine bring forth consciousness. On a physical level, it's the union of the sun and the earth to bring about the fruitfulness of the growing season. This year, both Mars and Venus stand united on Beltane, adding extra creative power to the day and the growing season. Leo moon makes it a creative day, and the closing aspects suggest you can push off from the wall of your dreams and go dance in the forest beneath a maypole to create your future, or wander off to get naked and have fun in the woods with a cutie patootie. Saturn's day, Venus is fighting with Pluto and Mars today. Love yesterday, war today. Forward. Use the energy to power through your stuff. Clear, clean, pitch, garden, plant, move it out into the new place. Mars has an aspect of brilliance with Ceres, suggesting the nurturing is right, perfect, and exactly as it should be, even if you want to kill someone. Throw away things instead. Clear out your proverbial fields for the new crop that wants to take root and sprout in your garden. Sunday has no significant aspect, so we can rest. Well, actually, on the second thought, the moon is in Virgo, so you can continue your organizing, launching, and redoing projects. It's a lovely day to accomplish great things. That sparkling garage, freshly painted room, or abundant garden will be a source of joy in the days and weeks ahead. Now, the mundane section is one of my favorite parts, and it talks about the world events that are showing up in the world as we watch from our cosmic point of view, using the astrology of the heavens to describe what's going on down here on Earth. So, of course, the outbreak of swine flu in Mexico is the Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron conjunction in Aquarius. It's in Aquarius air, and it's square to Mercury in Taurus Earth, throat. The whole mess is on the fixed star of Algol, which is one of the nastier ones in the sky, and on Venus and Aries on Shit, or Sheet, depending on how you want to say it, the evil or dangerous environment, danger of imprisonment or restraint. The star can cause misfortune and drowning, which is basically what happens when your lungs fill with fluid. And Venus smack on the world axis is the pandemic part of the news. Certainly, those are planetary pictures that would suggest lung diseases spread to and by group. Algol suggests the press will be quite hysterical about it and lose their heads, while Shit, is a nasty fixed star in charge of epidemics as well as other nasty stuff. I've been waiting a bit impatiently for whatever's going to trigger the next big financial collapse, and I'm not very good at waiting, especially when the information looks so interesting and quite juicy. And, of course, a swine flu pandemic could be the trigger. As I've written before, the collapse looks to be coming from the 12th house of the United States Saturn, which is the 9th house, technically. 9th is the house before the 10th, so that's the 12th house of the 10th house. You all follow that, I know. Neptune in Virgo is in the 9th house, which rules foreign countries, and Saturn stations there all May in a stressful aspect to the USA's natal Saturn. And it's also tucked out of view in our chart's blind spot. I pegged the trigger as this, and been writing about it for a while, as currency problems, other people's currency, manufacturing sources, Virgo, loans or trade issues, foreign, as we're looking at Neptune and Virgo in the 9th house. But Neptune and Virgo could very well be influenza. Fluid infections are from Neptune, and domestic animals are Virgo. The fluid's a funky mix of bird, swine, and human flu strains, matching the three planets in the sky, Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron. And they are joined and square to Mercury and Taurus. So how cool is that? Don't you just love astrology? At any rate, transiting Neptune and Jupiter come to the natal USA moon at 27 degrees Aquarius, carrying the influenza energy to the public, or carrying whatever the collapse trigger is going to be to the public in a big way. Now, I'm going to say, don't go get carried away with yourself now, Anne. You remember that bird flu business, you know. You longtime readers of my column will remember back when I had my bird flu obsession as Uranus passed through the influenza section of the Zodiac and the World Health Organization isolated cities to put a halt to SARS, which was another deadly, fast-moving respiratory virus. And on my Virgo defense, millions of birds did die from the bird flu, even if lots of people didn't die from the bird flu. So, if the global economy grinds to a halt based on a worldwide swine flu epidemic in May, when Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune meet in the sky and Saturn stations, that could well be the trigger for the financial collapse in the USA. As our financial system goes, so goes the world. None of this tarp stuff will matter. According to estimates, in the 1919 flu epidemic, which according to various sources killed between 20 and 65 million worldwide, it apparently almost caused the financial collapse of the United States by shutting down food supplies, trade, and commerce. So, from the internet, we have the following clipping. A deadly new swine flu killed 81 people in Mexico and likely sickened 1324 since April 13th, according to figures updated last Saturday by the Mexico's health secretary. Mexican soldiers and health workers patrolled airports and bus stations as they tried to corral people who may be infected with the swine flu, as it became clear that the government may have been slow to respond to the outbreak in March and early April. Now, even detaining the ill may not keep the strain, a combination of swine, bird, and human influenza that people have no natural immunity to, from spreading. 24 new suspected cases were reported in Mexico City alone, where authorities suspended schools and all public events until further notice. More than 500 events, including concerts and sport games, were canceled in the metropolis of 20 million people. Mexican authorities ordered schools closed in the capital and the states of Mexico and San Luis Potosí until May 6th. And I will add to you, that's when Mercury stations to go retrograde. And the Roman Catholic Church announced the cancellation of Sunday Masses. WHO Director Margaret Chan said the outbreak of the never-before-seen virus has pandemic potential, but she said it's still too early to tell if it would be a pandemic. WHO lays out three criteria necessary for a global epidemic. The virus is able to infect people, yes. It can readily spread person to person, yes. And the global population has no immunity to it, yes. Mexican authorities did lay to rest one persistent doubt after Mexican Museum Director Felipe Solis died this week, just days after accompanying U.S. President Barack Obama on a tour of the National Anthropology Museum on April 16th. Cordova said Solis had a pre-existing illness and died of pneumonia unrelated to influenza. Do we believe that? I don't know. At any rate, Barack Obama's south node is a 27 Aquarius, and it's about to receive transiting Neptune, Jupiter, and Chiron. We love it when planets go in the south node. As our leader, his chart is our chart now. Those transits suggest loss through Neptune, Jupiter, Chiron things in May of 2009. Swine flu works for me, as does the loss of optimism from financial collapse, dissolving the remaining abundance. So we'll have to stay tuned and see what happens. I went to a lovely memorial service with the musical performance by civil rights and cultural activists. I cried my eyes out. During the memorial, Matt Jones, a prolific songwriter and activist who faced down the Klan and was arrested 29 times, included the freedom chant, an affirmation he based on a famous quote by Fannie Lou Hamer and his own many years of direct action in the struggle for freedom. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I will not allow anybody at any time to violate my mind or my body in any shape, form, or fashion. And if they do, they will have to deal with me immediately. Freedom, freedom, freedom. The memorial service closed with the attendees standing, holding hands, and singing We Shall Overcome, with a very wonderful lyric change. Instead of the stanza ending with someday, like we shall overcome someday, change the words to right now. That's really amazing. Sing that song out loud in your living room right now. We shall overcome right now. I know I have, it's the end of the day, my voice is not in good tune. I didn't do my vocalizing exercises. And my voice teacher is Lynn Singer. And Lynn, if you're listening, I apologize. Isn't it an amazing difference what a minor change in a pattern can do? Just the change from right now to someday. All right, reader mail is another section. Clients like to write letters and ask questions. So Jill asked, you made reference over the past few months several times about Venus going from an evening star to a morning star. What does that mean and how does that affect us collectively or in our own personal charts regarding the houses that Venus rules? And I wrote, societies that followed Venus as their primary focus noticed when she was a tranquil evening star that she was motivated by love, desire, and the pleasures of the flesh. When Venus rose as an aggressive morning star, the Babylonians noted the periods were marked by hostility and abundant harvests. The culture often found itself engaged in strife, war, and arguments. Those cultures anticipated wars when Venus was a morning star. Mesoamericans noticed that political upheavals occurred during those same times when Venus was a morning star. Air disasters and the decline of political leaders and their policies are also more modern interpretations, which I didn't realize. We've been having a lot of plane crashing. In early legends, Venus is about fertility, personal power, abundance, what we love, creativity, harmony, prosperity, and our search for love. Venus represents self-esteem and empowerment, or lack thereof, and it affects our ability to form a loving, creative, compassionate relationship with family, friends, lovers, and colleagues. Look to your own chart to see whether Venus is a morning or evening star. When Venus repeats the same spatial aspect in your chart that she forms in the sky with the sun, you'll experience what's called a natal excitation, and important things happen in your life. All of you morning star babies should be getting ready to rock and roll. If Venus is before the sun by zodiac position in your chart, she's a morning star in your chart. So let's say you have Venus in Leo and you have your sun in Virgo, you will have a morning star Venus. Okay, if your sun is in Virgo and your Venus is in Libra, you have an evening star Venus. All of us need to think about what Venus's recent journey through Aries retrograde taught us about our desire and our love nature. Bill Clinton has an evening star Venus, while Gloria Steinem's Venus is a morning star. And think about how they use their Venus in very different ways. M wrote, I wanted to share my personal perspective on optimism versus pessimism and what's realistic. And I actually really like this, which is why I put this in the column. I don't claim to be any mystic, but I've experienced many of the highest heights of heaven, and I've experienced the depths of hell. I've come face to face with metaphorical demons and perhaps the devil himself within and without. What I've learned from this personal journey, which includes reading and studying and meditating and dreaming, a journey which took me from seeing the bliss of the garden to stepping right on the proverbial snake and seeing only the poisonous weeds, to a gradual return to grace, is that the blessing of free will is that we get to choose what we perceive and how to proceed. My preferred example is in viewing a rose as a child. We may see it just as beauty and scent, and then we grab it and we suffer the thorns. This then causes a fall from grace and may lead to a veiled perspective where the thorns now become the real focus, the pain, the suffering potential, the evil part of the rose. Neither perspective is clear. The true growth concerns when we return to that rose and see both the beauty and the danger, to fully appreciate it for all its glory, the color, the scent, the miracle, and to see the metaphorical thorns for what they are, not to deny their existence, but to accept them and respect their existence, and to know that as long as you see those thorns clearly in your life, you can tend to mitigate suffering and see new potential when it comes. We cannot let the hopes of optimism fade. The battle is raging on, and the tides are starting to turn from fear and doubt to hope and faith on a full global scale. It's time to return to the garden that's here, waiting for realization. You can see the glass half empty, or you can see the glass half full, or you can see the miracle of water. We are all co-creators in the greater whole, and thus must help spread the seeds. Thanks so much for doing your part. And I have absolutely nothing to add to that except amen, and maybe another chorus of We Shall Overcome right now. So have a wonderful week. Be careful out there, and focus on your heart, what's really calling you, and follow that path, because that is the place that is true. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off with my weekly weather report for the week of the last week of April, 2009, 27th, I think, to May 3rd. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye.